So, good morning and welcome. I hear some of you are here for the first time or have not been practicing long, and if you don't want to identify yourselves, I see your smiles that you're happy to be here. And I just want to give you a special welcome. It's wonderful to have new people. It helps us immeasurably. That's all I can say. And as I came today, I was sort of expecting to be wowed by the views on along Skyline, and I was. It's really beautiful, and it's always special to me as a Midwesterner this time of year, especially this year. I'm really glad I'm not back there, but many years. just of being cold for many, many months and then being very, very hot and sweaty for many, many months. And it's just beautiful, and especially this spring is so beautiful. But what I didn't expect was when I came in this morning, I went first and put on my okeso by your altar, where you have many people, some known to me, some not, who have been teachers in our tradition and who have passed on. And I was really moved by seeing all of them there, really sort of just full of gratitude and amazement. The amazement that this is where I've landed, because I won't go into what my background is, but nobody who knew me as a child would expect to see me here. Let's just say that. I had no religious background or inkling that I know of. When I look back now, I can see it, but really none that I knew of. And I was kind of ornery and probably not a very easy child. And maybe I'm not an easy adult, probably not, but I like to think something has softened in the years I've been sitting. So that's the amazement part. And the gratitude is something that I really wanted to talk with all of you about, because I've been practicing with the idea, with the concept, with the feeling, with whatever arises around gratitude for about 5 or 6 months. And I realize I still have a question, which I'm gonna kind of wander around today, and I don't know whether to answer it, but just to pose the question. But I wanted to ask all of you first, maybe someone can help me. What is gratitude? What is it for you? Does anyone, I assume we all feel it at some place in our life or have had that feeling, the feeling part. And sometimes it's a thought, it's an idea. Well, I should be grateful, or I'm trying to be grateful, or they say, you know, gratitude. But if anyone can offer anything to begin with, that would be, I would be grateful to hear that. Yes, Bill.
To some extent, my gratitude to many of you may sound selfish. Because on a day by day I'm dealing with many illnesses, not just one. And so when I wake up in the morning, the primary gratitude that I have is the gratitude for a new day. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else want to
I was going to mention that there's a poem on the website, if you look down the bottom of the left-hand side, called Gratitude, and it was part of a lecture that Jerome Reese gave about 3 months ago on gratitude.
Oh.
And I think the essence of it is kind of a melting of the sense of song, ego sense.
The melting of ego, yeah.
Because of seeing how wonderful.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yes, please.
You said something about it's not like just thinking, you know, to try to be grateful is happy, but I always think of it as it's a revelation.
It's a revelation.
You see something, the circumstances, in a way that you hadn't before. It's more than you can even. This is the kind of inspiration.
So
it can bowl you over.
Yeah. So, and I think what you're talking about, all three of you actually, is this sort of sense sometimes that it just, it's just there, and it may not even be as precise as the new day or a revelation. It's just there. And I'll say a little bit more about when that has happened for me, but I resonate with that and with the melting of ego in the day. Yes?
I don't know where this comes from, it just kind of bubbled up, but I feel a sense of unworthiness of this beautiful day. What did I do to deserve this?
Mm-hmm.
This dharma,
mm-hmm.
the depth,
mm-hmm.
why me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. It's good to speak to all sides. Anything else? So I'll talk a little bit more about where I've been with it, and then maybe. If there's more to offer, I'm very curious to hear other people's experiences. So I think some of you knew Steve Stuckey, whose picture is on the altar, who died last year. And he was one of our teachers in SPOT with Doug and me and Joe. And so I listened when I learned last year that he had been diagnosed with cancer. I knew that he had just given a talk like a few days after, and I don't know if other people listened to that talk. But I listened and was just totally bowled over. And it was about gratitude. And it was actually something I had heard Steve say during our time together in SPOT, that he had this practice that every morning as he got out of bed, he would be grateful for whatever arose into his awareness, into his consciousness. And in his talk, he further elaborated on that as well as other things. It's quite a beautiful talk. And it was just very, very moving. And I recommend it. And I can tell you how to find it if you want to listen to it. But it started me thinking, I think partly the unworthiness, that's something that has come up for me. Why should I be so fortunate when others are not? I mean, some people say, I think the Dalai Lama, or somebody says, to be grateful, to be born in a human body, to have this birth and to hear the Dharma, it's a wonderful thing that has happened to us. But the flip side of it is to see, why me? Why should I be so fortunate? So that's something that I had thought before. And I've had the experience, as you were saying, I had the experience when I practiced, particularly it came up for me when I practiced Atasahara, that I was so grateful that events had come together and that I was able to arrange other events to make it possible to be there. That a lot of the time I was there, it was this just this spontaneous kind of gratitude. I mean, sometimes it was, I'm cold, I don't want to get up, I don't want to, I have to sit zazen again. But most of the time it was just this arising for no particular thing, just gratitude. So I thought after I heard Steve again talking about his practice, I thought, well, I want to try that. I want to, I do feel grateful for so many things. What would it be like in the morning to arise out of bed and offer gratitude for whatever comes up? So I did this pretty much every day for about a month. And what I noticed at the end of the month was that I was grateful for the sunshine. I was grateful for my family. I was grateful for the coolness of the floor on a warm day. I was grateful for the water coming out of my pipes. And I realized, oh, those are easy things. Those are the beautiful things. Those are the fortunate things. What about my friend and teacher Steve, who is dying of cancer? He's practicing with gratitude for cancer. Can I be grateful for my stiff hips? Getting out of bed is not always easy for me anymore in the morning. Can I be grateful that it's too cold and I wish the heat were already on? Can I be grateful for the argument with the friend that I remembered as I awoke? Can I be grateful for a difficulty? So I tried that, and I realized, that's when I realized that that was a thought of gratitude. I could think gratitude, I could try to be grateful, but I didn't feel it. It wasn't, you know, here or all through me the way the practice of gratitude had been so far, when I was just spontaneously feeling it. So I talked about that with a number of people, including my brother, who said, I'm just not there. I can't, there's no way I can be grateful for something like cancer or, you know, difficulty or losing my, a friend of his had died, losing my friend. I can't go there. You're better than I am. I said, I'm not there either. I can't either. But I imagine that for Steve and for anyone who really makes that a practice every day, for years and years and years, I trust that it's there. I trusted when I heard his talk that it was genuine. It wasn't that he was just thinking, I should be grateful. I know Steve, and I know he was, and yet I can't imagine it, but I know he was. So I do imagine it. I can imagine it. So I continue to practice with it. And I realize that when it comes with a thought, when it's something difficult, then it's intellectualized, right? It's in my mind. And when it comes that way, it comes with a because or a rationalization. You know, I'm grateful for the pain in my hips when I get up in the morning because at least I'm still walking, you know, or I'm grateful for my friend who passed away because he gave me so much in this life. I'm very fortunate he was here. So there comes a rationalization with it, a because, and that's just more thinking. Maybe eventually it leads to gratitude, but really only through the head, not through the heart. It's not that spontaneous kind of gratitude. So I'm still wandering around with it and wondering about it. I haven't gotten to the place to be grateful for, well, it sinks in more to be grateful for what's difficult, because I do think and feel that without difficulty, there is nothing to practice with. There is nothing to awaken to. You know, we all wouldn't be here. But again, that's more rationalization. So I looked in some other places. One place that I found was a poem by Mary Oliver. Actually, there were two poems, and one maybe I'll get to a little later, but she has a poem called Gratitude. And what I saw in that poem was that it's made up of six questions, and she answers them. And so her questions, and you might just think about this right now, the first one is, what did you notice? So just as you think about your morning, or even right now, what did you notice this morning? What do you notice? And you don't have to, you know, say what it is, but just for yourself, notice. And then she names all the things she noticed. So we can name them. What do we notice? Maybe the breath going in and out, or ease in our legs, or pain in our legs. What did you hear? It's wonderful to be here when I can ask that question, and I don't hear the chainsaw across the street, and I don't hear the traffic. I do hear the birds every once in a while, or the buzzing of the bees. Oh, there goes a car. But I mean, like, not all the time. It's wonderful to have the sounds of the woods. What did you admire? She asks. And I love this one. What astonished you? Or even just mildly surprised you? Imagine every day asking, what astonished me today? And what was the most tender? And what was most wonderful? So if you want, you can take these questions and you can go write this poem. I think we all can write it. But what I want to add to her questions is, what was difficult? Can we add that and admire it and be astonished at it and be grateful for it? And what did I shy away from or avoid? Can I be grateful? Can I admire myself for it? Can I at least just notice it? So that poem led me to thinking about just sort of gratitude, what it is, and one way to approach it. I think what Mary Oliver is talking about, really, what she's talking about in most of her poems, is paying attention. She does say in one of her poems, I don't know what a prayer is, but I do know how to pay attention. I love that. She does. She really does. And so gratitude is a matter, really, of paying attention. If we pay close attention to our world, it is quite marvelous and astonishing that it's arising every moment, moment after moment after moment, and that, marvel of marvels, you are here, I am here, we are here to experience it. How did that happen? I was listening to somebody on the television talking about this new Cosmos that is on with Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, the Carl Sagan series. And the person who was talking about the series was saying that, you know, there was this, like, billions of years ago, an asteroid nudged the Earth to put it into the kind of orbit that made it possible for life to happen. Wow. Talk about karma. My God, causes and conditions. How did that happen, and what if it hadn't? You know, so just paying attention, or just saying gratitude, they can come up together. So, oh, low battery, dismiss. I will be grateful because it's letting me know that I better wind up. So I just want to say this just quickly, which is that I realize that gratitude, like everything else, you know, the teaching in our tradition is emptiness, that everything is empty of a separate self. There's no me without you and everybody in the room and the floor and the asteroid hitting the Earth billions of years ago. All of that arises and is possible together. So gratitude is like any other dharma. It's empty. And being empty, it's, as Thich Nhat Hanh says, it's made up of non-gratitude parts. So the non-gratitude parts, that helped me understand something about it. Attention is one of them. Insufficiency was another one that I realized. That it's only because we realize what we lack or that we might lack that we're grateful. Our health, our youth, good teeth when we've come from the dentist, you know, anything. We have a sense it could be otherwise. We are insufficient. And it's why some people really don't want to express gratitude, because that's going to mean I'm going to have to acknowledge that I'm dependent on you and you and you and everything in order to be happy or sad or whatever. And some people don't want to acknowledge that interdependence. I find it quite marvelous, but I know there's some people who are individualists and know I don't depend on anybody. I got here on my own. Well, good luck to them. It's also based on, I think, an awareness of, an awareness of emptiness, that we realize that everything arises together. Otherwise, it wouldn't be. So there would be nothing to be grateful for. And it's also is made up of, particularly of an understanding of suffering, because, again, that's sort of the insufficiency part, as well as other things, that when we recognize suffering, when we release our suffering, when we recognize suffering again and release it all over again, all of that over and over again, eventually there's gratitude. And so those are just some of the things that make up gratitude. So I think the thing for me, though, that most of all, maybe it's the flip side of, isn't it amazing that everything is? It's very difficult to be grateful for death. And yet, I think that's really at the heart of why we're practicing. And so I do want to read you one of my favorites from Mary Oliver. Because I think it's what, death is what makes it all so palpably real. Of course, nothing is real. This is, as they say, you know, our life is like a dream. It's a projection, and yet there's a sense that we have of reality when confronted with impermanence, with death. So she says, when death comes, like the hungry bear in autumn, when death comes and takes all the bright coins from his purse to buy me and snaps the purse shut, when death comes like the measles pox, when death comes like an iceberg between the shoulder blades, I want to step through the door full of curiosity, wondering, what is it going to be like, that cottage of darkness? And therefore, I look upon everything as a brotherhood and a sisterhood. And I look upon time as no more than an idea. And I consider eternity as another possibility. And I think of each life as a flower, as common as a field daisy, and as singular. And each name a comfortable music in the mouth, tending, as all music does, towards silence. And each body a lion of courage and something precious to the earth. When it's over, I want to say, all my life I was a bride married to amazement. I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. That's my favorite line, so I'll read it again. When it's over, I want to say, all my life I was a bride married to amazement. I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. When it's over, I don't want to wonder if I made something of my life, something if I made of my life something particular and real. I don't want to wonder if I made of my life something particular and real. I don't want to find myself sighing and frightened or full of argument. I don't want to end up simply having visited this world. So, she's not specifically saying gratitude, but when I read that and I think about each life, singular as a field daisy, each name, all of our names, all of your names I don't know yet, a comfortable music, it's a comfortable music in someone's mouth, tending towards silence. To be a bride married to amazement, isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? So I think that when we are really paying attention, and that's what we're doing here, that's really, we're sitting here, I think, for, I hope, for two reasons. One, because we have an understanding of suffering, and the other, because we want to pay attention. And paying attention, you know, paying attention to suffering is no picnic. This isn't because then every moment turns out to be wonderful. It's just because to pay attention over and over and over again just reveals the wonder of life, as well as the pain of life. And it's all wrapped up. It's not a separable package. But when you really experience through our sitting practice, you experience how everything is interconnected. And you really come up against the impermanence of life. Then we're doing more than just visiting this life. Then we are like Mary Oliver, the bride married to amazement. And what was the bridegroom? The bridegroom taking the world. That's good. The bridegroom taking the world into our arms. So, if you have anything else to offer, we have, about 5 more minutes. If anyone wants to offer their amazement or gratitude or puzzlement or whatever is arising. Thank you. Did you? Yes.
I feel like what's difficult about practicing gratitude day to day sometimes is that our culture overall promotes a sense of deprivation in people, and it's a real, you know, there are times that I definitely feel that as a natural state within myself, but it's expressing it and openly existing with it within our everyday culture that I think is very challenging. So sometimes I actually just keep it to myself, which feels
That's why you need to hang around with people like this.
but it's, I just, so that's more of a comment than anything.
That's a really good one, because I think it's one of many ways that our practice runs up against our culture, and I hadn't thought about that, that it really is this sense, either it's deprivation or we have to want more, 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 more. And gratitude is realizing everything is really basically enough,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
whatever our circumstances. So then that may make us hide away from it. But I think even, you know, the act of stopping and sitting and being quiet for 40 minutes, you just don't do that. You should be getting up and getting something and getting the newest app and, you know, Facebooking your friend, and there must be something you should be doing. I have a friend who sits with a lunchtime sitting group, and she got into a lot of trouble with the group because she insisted that people should not have their cell phones on during the sitting. And I said, hang in there. So even people who are coming to practice are thinking, I have to have more, I have to be in touch. And yeah, it does go against it. But please don't hide it, because I think you'll find that someone else will notice it, and it will ripple out from you. But I understand that's hard. Yeah. Yes.
No, thank you. So I'd like to get back to Steve Shepard, who I've never met, but heard he's a tremendous human being. And I'd like to get sort of the heart of the matter, if I may. So I'll put the question like this. So let's say tomorrow you were diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Not that I would, you know, but I'd like to, it would help me to hear you.
There's something in my tradition that is this.
Yeah.
Yes, no, go ahead.
I'm worried, Carl.
Not that I'm suspicious.
So I'm just, it would help, you know, to get a little sense of what's so great about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to be.
No, little, I know,
but
yeah.
But if you really look at it, it's. Because if you back away from not being able to see or hear or touch or smell or be with people, you know, just sort of like, that's it.
Yeah.
What's so great about it? How do you develop a really genuine sense that this is great, I'm grateful?
Well, I think there's a difference between this is great and I'm grateful.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it doesn't mean, I was reading this article actually about the present moment, and it was exactly that question. What's so great about the present moment? Great question. And her point, and I think the same is true of gratitude, is that we don't cultivate awareness and mindfulness or gratitude because everything is wonderful. First of all, I would say you do it for its own sake, for one thing, and it does just naturally arise, and when it doesn't, there's more to practice with. But it's not necessarily that it would be great to have cancer. It's not great to me that Steve died or friends of mine have passed away, but there are aspects of those people I remain grateful for. There's aspects of his illness that he taught me a lot, and a lot of us a lot, and I'm grateful for that. And I think there is still, I know just for myself, there is more work to be done to find myself to the center of your question, which is to be grateful when it's not great. And I think that's where, you know, more zazen.
Did you ever talk to him about where he was with all this?
No, because once he became ill, he went pretty fast. But I listened to that talk, and he was, I don't know if both of you followed his blog, he just continued to teach. Everything that he put on there was just, He had, I don't even remember now what it was, but it was on Thanksgiving. What you know, just sort of his outpouring of gratitude. And I remember one thing about it is he said, we set one day aside in our culture for gratitude. It's your question. Mm-hmm. We set one day aside. That's wonderful. And I'm thinking, why do we have to just do one day? It is so counter. But at least it's wonderful that we have it. So I suppose that's, you know, I acknowledge it's still going into my head to find the gratitude. But I think that for me over time, just saying, I think that things filter down. You know, somebody said to me once, you can trust gravity. So if it's in your head and you keep working with it, eventually it's going to come down into your heart. So that's my practice, is to keep it in my head when it's not in my heart, to have the thought in the morning, gratitude, when even though I don't like something, and eventually I am trusting that it will deepen. But I'm just beginning. I've only been doing this a few months, so.
I mean, because most people would choose life over death, so, and none of us are going to get out of this alive. So,
nope.
I mean, it's going to happen, it's just a question of when. So it seems like it, for Stuckey, it was already part of his...
Exactly. He had been doing it a long time.
So it seems like it's right. Better to start in small ways than not.
Better to start now. If you want, what is it in Dogen? If you want such a thing, get to work on such a thing immediately.
Mm-hmm. That's practical.
Yeah. Anyway, lunch too is practical. Can we take one more question, or what are you? You haven't heard the bell? Oh,
we haven't heard that. Yeah, that was a question.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. First of all, thank you. And, you know, I heard that well, there's a phenomenon of PTSD with survivors of extreme circumstance. There's like a phenomenon called, it's like post-traumatic growth of survivors. And I feel that I've felt that when you mentioned death, just immediately to my heart, you said yes. I experienced a lot of death this year, last year. My parents died. Mm. My mentor committed suicide, and I graduated art school, and I moved to a new place. So it's just like.
You got a lot of trauma.
Yeah, my world fell apart, and it was like also unlayering previous trauma, like of abuse, and kept coming. But it also felt just like it made me consider that I'm going to die, and my loved ones are going to keep dying. It's not going to stop, and like. Why should I not be doing what I want to do?
Yeah.
Made me more motivated and more like
right.
Fractal growth. So I don't know.
I've never heard that expression. I'm going to borrow that and use that because I think that's wonderful. That's the other side of trauma. That it can wake us up. It's a terrible way to wake up, but I don't know how else we wake up, actually. Thank you, and thank you for being here and offering that. Yes?
I've often had the feeling that life prepares people, or me in this case, with small difficulties first, so that I learn, and then it'll bring me bigger difficulties, but in a good way, so it's enlarging my world. And with overcoming those small difficulties, and sometimes it's not really difficult, it's just a challenge. I'm grateful for the grace that comes. And being grateful for that grace, I also realize that I'm also grateful for the difficulty in the first place, before the grace.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for mentioning grace, because that's such a mystery. And again, that's, yeah, and it's very connected with gratitude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so amazing.
If I may answer
sure, please.
Something more of John's question. I had some, last couple of days I was here at Jikoji, and I was up on the hill, and just some amazing feelings of grace and beauty. But in particular, there's this tree that I saw in the distance, and far off in the distance, I can't really see it well, but for some reason, it was sort of pulling me towards it. So I got there at sunset, and it's this tree that's, there's this huge rock and a tree, and they're kind of like, have a, almost like a symbiotic relationship, where the tree is almost like wrapping its trunk around the rock. It's just very unusual. It would be unusual anywhere, but it just happens to somehow be kind of magical for me.
Yeah.
There's something very difficult in my life right now, so that felt like an absolute grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. But I want to mention the death thing, because it's pretty clear that the rock will kill the tree eventually. It's struggling. It's not going to do as well, and it'll die more prematurely than if it hadn't been in this odd relationship with that particular difficulty. But so part of my mind wants to understand what it means, but another part I just understood that it's fundamentally and intrinsically beauty.
Yeah,
It just is, and in that way, death or whatever difficulty it is part of life.
Yeah, it's all wrapped up.
And I felt it.
Yeah, and it may be that the tree has been able to stand or withstand difficulties because of the rock.
It's life is beautiful, and so is death.
Right. Yeah. Beautiful image. I'd love to see that tree. If you ever go there, take a picture for us.
I have pictures.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think I did hear the bell. But.
Yeah, I just wanted to add.
Yeah.
When he died, he kind of knew he was coming up to his last breath. And he was smiling.
I heard that.
And I'm incredibly grateful so that you can have a good time
when
it is possible.
Yeah. I heard that in the last few hours, I think like his son was in the room and he couldn't talk, but he just gave a thumbs up. So may we have that kind of grace. May that be so for all of you. Yeah. And thank you. And now we get to have lunch. And be grateful for that. Food. Thank you.
That was good. It was a good signal on you.